better year, right? And that's like the tree that didn't bear for 3 years. And the master of the tree said, let me dung about it. Let me dig about it. Let me prune it. Let me do fertilize. Let me do all these things. So it'll bring forth. And if it doesn't bring forth, then you cut it down. You cut it down. Absolutely. Start over again. And so you and I need to let God bring forth what's inside of us. What good does it do to have it and not bring it forth? Oh my. Y'all still with me? Anybody ever been pruned before? Lord, have mercy. You got to know when to prune. I've raised enough trees. I've done it wrong, Brother Cooley. I'm telling you, I pruned trees. I thought, well, I'm going to prune it early this time. And I kill that tree. Just pruning the limbs. Just pruning it. I didn't cut it, hew it down. I pruned it at the wrong time. And again, you got to understand in a state of emergency, some things you got to let them hang on a little while. You got to let it stay a little longer than you thought. Because if you prune it too quick, you'll kill it. And there's always, if he said he prunes them to get them to do what? Bring forth what? More fruit, right? So he wants you to bring forth, not just, but abundantly, he said, abundance of fruit. But you'll never bring forth an abundance of fruit if you don't get pruned. I was talking to a guy yesterday that had some blackberry vines. He's out of Houston. And he had some of the biggest old blackberries. I'm telling you, he said he gets $25 a gallon for those blackberries. I said, I'm going to start raising those. Gallon, yeah, for those blackberries, big old blackberries. And he said, now, Mr. Baggett, let me tell you, it ain't easy. You got to prune them things every year. I didn't think about it. I thought blackberries just grow wild and you go pick them. He said, oh, no, you got to stake them. You got to tie them up and prune them every year. If you don't prune them, you're not going to get much fruit. I thought, Lord, that's just like the scriptures, you know. And I'm telling you, if God don't clip your wings a little bit, he don't step on your toes a little bit, and he don't crop on you a little bit and prune you, you'll never bring forth fruit. You'll just be a vine without fruit. And that's why he cursed the fig tree, right? He went to the fig tree. It had leaves and what? No fruit. And he cursed it. I want you and I tonight to emerge as Christians without having to always live in the state of emergency. You see, when they came out of Egypt bondage, they were like, stayed there 400 years, and they lived in a state of emergency. I mean, Moses gets to to crossing the Red Sea. And they said, what'd you do? Get us out here to kill us? Mountains on one side, mountains on the other side, Red Sea on one side, and Pharaoh's army behind them. And he looked to heaven and he said, this is an emergency. This is an emergency. He said, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got this rod. He said, hold it out. Now, I want you to notice that he held it out. In my mind, it parted right then. It didn't. They went back to their tents and stayed for a while as the wind blew. And that parted it. No matter how much of an emergency it looked like, and no matter how close the enemy was, they still had to wait a little while for the waters to part. He could have held his rod over there and said, come on, let's go, and they'd all drown too. You've got to wait. No matter how much of an emergency it is, you still have to wait till God opens the door. And too many people, this is going to be good, but I'm going to talk to you about now. Too many people are not practical in living for God. They're theatrical. They're not practical. They're theatrical in living in their walk with God. And when you're practical in your living for God, you practice it. That's what practical means. I can practice it. But theatrical means I play it out, but I may not practice it, but I play it out. It's theatrical. And you perform it, but you may not be living it. And sometimes we're not practical in our living for God. There are things today that are practical that weren't practical 100 years ago. I mean, how would you like for me, would y'all come to this church if I said, well, we're going back to the tents and the sawdust and the open and fanning and skeeters and how many of y'all would be a member? See, I got one. Thank God. We might try that, brother. One person. It's not practical. That's why you don't want to do it, is because it's not practical. We have the funds, we have the resources, we have everything. So in living for God, it's the same thing. We need to live for God in a practical way. Even the message that I preach today is not the same exact message, yes, it's the same message in terms of salvation, but it, you know, it's not this. We're dealing with a whole different group of people here that my grandpa dealt with really 100 years ago. In 1915 is when that thing started. Here we are, 100 years later. A lot of changes has happened. The world has changed. I'm dealing with a world that has mind problems. He dealt with a whole different kind of world than I'm dealing with. Romans 7 and 14, I want to show you about Paul, his theatrical and practical approach to living. For we know that the law is spiritual. You don't really think of the law as spiritual, but the reason the law is spiritual, because he said he let me know I was a sinner. He said the law let me know inside of me that I was no good. I didn't know how really rotten I was until they put a limit on ducks, you know. And when they said you could kill 10, I killed the 10 and more. And then when they went down to 5, I said, I'll show you, I'm going to kill 10 anyway. You see, and that's what Paul said, when you gave me the law, then there's something wrought up all manner of concupiscence or excessive desire in me to break it. Because you telling me what? You ain't going to tell me nothing. How many ever told somebody else that? One? Same one, huh? No. Yeah, you ain't going to tell me what to do. You ain't my daddy. That's what we used to say with kids. You ain't my daddy. My daddy told me what to do. And so the law let me know it was spiritual. It was not. You see, the law was spiritual. I was carnal. There was nothing wrong with the law, thou shalt not. It's spiritual. But I was carnal, okay? But I'm carnal, sold. I'm sold. Who sold me out? Y'all remember who sold you out? Eve or Adam? Adam. Eve partook of the fruit. She'd have died by herself. See, Sister Valentine, I'll take up for you. You didn't hear that sermon. Eve ate the fruit. She could have died alone as long as Adam didn't eat it. She was in the transgression, but Adam knew what he was doing. And he ate of a forbidden fruit knowing what he was doing, and he brought sin and death into the world. Yes, sir. Sold under sin for that which I allow not. Oh, we're going to get into this. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, then I consent unto the law that it is good. It shows me that it's good because I'm seeing myself in a different way than I ever did before. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, Paul, apostle, sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my carnal self, there dwelleth or liveth no good thing. This is the practical side of me. Why can't I do that? Why can't I? You know, show me. And then he said, for to will is present with me, the practical side. But how to perform, the theatrical side, that which is good, I find not. I don't know how to perform what I'm not really am not. You catching that? I don't know how to act like what I'm really not. I'm having trouble acting like I'm happy when I'm not happy. I'm having trouble acting like I'm not lonely when I'm really lonely. And so if we're not careful, we use so many scriptures because many people grab this scripture. Are y'all still with me? Many people grab this scripture and others, and they look for themselves in the scripture. That's me. That's the same thing I fight. If the Apostle Paul fought it, you know, then I'm no better than Apostle Paul. and we just kind of go down the list, you know. I got a thorn in my flesh, just like the Apostle Paul did, you know. And we use all the weaknesses of all, you know, I'm just like old David. I'm full of lust, you know. You know, the Lord, he was still a man after God's own heart. I'm like Moses, you know. He was full of anger, and I got a lot of anger, too. I get depressed like Elijah sometimes and put myself in a cave and pull down the shade. I'm like old Doubting Thomas, you know. I doubt every once in a while, too. And I'm as carnal as Cornelius. And we find all these people that these characters in the Bible, and we relate to them on their weaknesses and not their strengths. And so we cop out, if you will. And if you take all of these, you know, if you had all the weaknesses of these that I mentioned, I'm like Peter. I'm just a cussing, lying dude. That's all I am. I'll bow up to you in a minute. Well, if you take all of these weaknesses, you're a terrible person. They fought these weaknesses. The Lord said, what are you doing in that cave? Peter, put up your sword. Thomas, what are you doubting for? Paul, get up for now. I'll show you what you'll suffer for my name. Say, no, my grace is sufficient. He didn't put up with it. Are you with me still? But we use it and we hide behind it. When Christ, every one of these, he attacked them with those things. So Paul continues to write. And he said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, and I quote this scripture a lot, evil is present with me. We go right back to the garden. Every time you want to reach for the good, the bad choice is there too. I find a law, a brand new law. It's not one of Moses' 10 laws. It's a law of my own. I found a law that when I would do good, there's something that says don't do it or do it. Whatever is the opposite of good is evil. But he said, for I delight, though. My delight is not in that. My delight is in the law of God after the inner man. He's not making excuses for his doing wrong or whatever it was or anybody. He's just telling, he's open with us about a struggle. But he said, I have to delight that on the inside, I know that I don't want to serve this. I hate this, but I keep doing it. So then he says, I see another law in my members warring. Oh, this is what I face all the time, these wars with people. Another law in my members, warring in the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It captured me. That's why he wrote in another place to bring into captivity every thought. You need to catch what's chasing you and captivate it. Pull down every stronghold. As I've told you many times, it doesn't have to be a big thing to be a stronghold. Oh, wretched man that I am, I want deliverance. See, the problem is that so many people, they settle into this. Well, that's just who I am. That's just how God made me. That's not so. God wants to bring forth everything that you can be. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I want out of this death trap. And then he says the words that I like. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I realize I've served the law of God, but my flesh is still with me and it will always want to serve the law of sin. The war is over. The war is over. I now know I've got to captivate the law of sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who took away my sins and who forgives me for my sins, and serve the Lord with my mind and not my body. Ooh, my God. As they come tonight, I close with this. In our text we read where Moses is coming down from the mountain. He's been 40 days and 40 nights with God. I mean, these were 40 scared nights. Can you imagine? He trembled. He said, y'all want to talk to God? He said, I do exceedingly quake. But we've not come to that mountain, the Bible says in Hebrews, as they did, where Moses did exceedingly quake and the smoke and the fire and the animals would die. We've come to Mount Zion, the innumerable company of angels and saints and just men made righteous. We've come to the place where we can come to the Lord in peace and say, I want to be delivered. You know what deliverance is? I don't want to control something. Controlling it is not deliverance. And too many people are trying to control things. That's not what God came for. He came to deliver the captive, not to help them control it. Well, if I can just do this, I can control it. No, you need to be delivered. And so he said, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, thy people which thou hast brought forth. 400 years, I got them out, and I'm bringing them forth. I'm bringing them out of the state of emergency to a place of peace and love and care where it's the promised land. But before we could get through the wilderness, we got an emergency, Moses. We got an emergency. Get down quickly. These people that you brought forth, Lord, and already they have corrupted the God they serve. And made another God. I've worked with people a long, long time. And sometimes I've worked with people and they're like, you know, especially when they're new and they're starting. And I'm like, where was you last service? Oh, I had to work over. Okay, I was just checking, you know. Where were you? I was just, okay. Okay, I don't mean to bother you, but I know how people backslide. I've been around the block. He said, my people are bent on backsliding. And I'm telling you, there can just be a few signs, and it's a state of emergency with me. Where are you going? What you been doing? You need to consult with me? You better call me. You better text. You better get with me. Because I feel the urgency of trying to save you from yourself. Anytime you're dealing with sin, we're dealing with an emergency. I want to get past, I do. As a pastor, people come in here, I've got to check the vital signs. What do you know? What do you don't know? Where are you at in life? What are your struggles? You know, are you dealing with addictions? Or do you have any mental problems? What are you taking? You know, all these things just to kind of get them stable. Brother, it's a different world. Just to get them stable. I'm fixing to go bankrupt, and I'm fixing to do this, and I'm overextended here, and my husband left me, and it's just unbelievable, the emergencies that come through the church. And we as a church don't attend to these emergency needs. They're right out the door. And once I attend to those emergencies, and when the man from that was on the Jericho Road, he fell, and thieves left him half dead. That means he's only half alive. And the others just passed on side. They didn't see the emergency. The man could die in one more breath and it's over. But boy, when that Samaritan came by, he said, this is an emergency. My money don't mean anything. My horse don't mean anything. You know what? I'm going to let him ride and I'll walk. Because this is a state of emergency. And I'll bring him to the inn and I'll tell that innkeeper, I'm going to leave him here. And if he needs anything else he owes, I'll come back. Because this is a state of emergency. I'll pay for it. Oh, God. Help us to see people in their states of emergency today. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Open my eyes, God. Don't let me pass on the other side and not see it. It's critical, Lord. Some people are in critical condition. They're in ICU when they get here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, sing tonight. I wish right there where you was at. Say, God, help me. Help me if you need to get out of a state of emergency. Say, God, help me, Lord. Check my pulse, Lord. Hallelujah. Breathe upon me, Lord. Give me CPR. Do something, God. Don't let